It's been a great year in the stock market, has it not? And looks like we're going to be able to report excellent returns on our Market Timer model portfolios. And we'll be reporting those returns in the January edition. And looking ahead right now, I would say that the January edition of the investment letter should be available for subscriber access online by midday on Tuesday, January 2nd, which is the first business day of the new year. January 1 will be a national holiday, New Year's Day. It'll be a Monday. First business day of 2018 will be Tuesday, January 2nd. We should have the investment letter available by midday on Tuesday, January 2nd, for those of you that are planning ahead. I mentioned there were many aspects of the tax bill, probably too many to get to in their entirety. Some of them are, by the way, completely idiotic, and I will get to that shortly. But there are many other changes in addition to the changes we talked about earlier in the broadcast. One of the changes is with the 529 plan. And with the 529, everything stays the same with reference to higher education, which is college and beyond. But they have added a new provision. The bill is probably going to be voted on this week in the House and the Senate. There is a new provision in the bill to allow the withdrawal of up to $10,000 annually per child to pay for private school. And so this is a significant change in the law. 529 plans up till now can only be used for college and higher education. But if this change goes through, as expected, you can take up to $10,000 every year per child and use that for the cost of private education. So that is a significant change in the 529 rule that is in the law book. If it passes as planned this week, and right now they appear to have the votes, it looks like it's going to pass. In addition to that, there are some provisions in here that frankly make no sense to me, but they're in the law. And this particular one reminds me of the caller we had earlier in the broadcast who was very unhappy with the law. And if you're listening in California, you want to listen very closely, because starting in 2018, you will only be able to deduct your fire and flood loss if it occurred during an event officially declared a disaster by the president. So if you lose your house in a fire, as so many have in California, and if that fire is not officially declared a disaster by the president, and they certainly are not all so designated, you don't get a deduction for that loss. So that's a change for anybody that is so affected, and so many are going to be affected as a result of the fires in that state. They're also into the alimony game. It's going to make divorce a little harder for the ex-spouse who's paying the alimony, because it will no longer be deductible. No deduction under this law starting in 2018, starting in a couple of weeks. No deduction for alimony expense under the new law. In addition to that, the person receiving the alimony payment will not have to pay tax on that income starting in 2018. Let me correct that. Starting in 2019. Special provision on this particular item. This item on deductibility and on declaration of income is effective in 2019, 54 weeks from now. For divorce and separation agreements that occur starting in 2019. So looks like people are grandfathered in. But if you have a divorce or separation agreement executed starting in 2019, that will be the law. That's the way it's written. A lot of complexities. This, by the way, is an extremely complex tax bill. Now, if you hear anybody talking about tax simplification with reference to this bill, I don't know what they're smoking, but it's probably not good for them. Moving expenses. Right now, you can deduct your moving expense. Even if you don't itemize, you can deduct your moving expense under current law as long as your new job is at least 50 miles away from your old home relative to your old job. Well, here's the deal. Moving costs will generally no longer be deductible. Starting in 2018, there will be some exceptions for members of the military. Here is perhaps the most idiotic, moronic provision in the tax bill. It has to do with your bicycle commuters, and there are people who do that. This one is bizarre and idiotic all in one. Right now, you're allowed to exclude up to $20 a month from your income if you have expenses related to bicycle commuting. As long as you're not getting other pre-tax commuting benefits from your boss, you get a $20 deduction from your income for bicycle-related expenses if you commute by bicycle. And they're going to delete that one. They're going to take that off. Don't ask me why, because I don't have a good answer for you. I don't think bicycle commuters are doing any harm to the society that I know of. That one is really weird. But we don't want to waste too much time on that nonsense. Another one about gambling. Now, right now, you can deduct gambling losses up to the amount of gambling income in any given year. But in the new law, they're going to make some changes. And the change will be this. And this includes many of the professional gamblers, because they deduct the expenses related to their profession, if you'll pardon the expression. You're going to have to add your commuting gambling losses, your commuting losses, your expenses, to your total losses before you make a comparison to your total taxable winnings for the overall deduction calculation. Why they're doing stuff like this, don't ask me. I have no answer. I have no idea why the Congress of the United States is wasting their precious time writing laws like this. This is bizarre. So that's basically, for the most part, not in every case, but that's most of it right there that we've gone over on today's broadcast. They're not repealing the deduction for student loan interest. That was a trial balloon, but it got killed. Other things that were up in the air, like employer-paid tuition, like when your employer pays your tuition for continuing education, the amount that they pay is not taxable income under current law, as long as you meet certain conditions. Well, they were going to knock that out, but they kept it. So there's no change to employer-paid tuition. Capital gains when selling a home, no change there. So, for the most part, I think we have covered the new tax bill. It's pretty extensive, pretty dramatic. And let me say again, because this is clear as day, if you are a high earner, if you are a business owner in many cases, if you are high net worth, you are a financial winner under this tax bill. That's where the money is. That's where it is. Tom is on the line in Portland. Tom, it's your turn. Hello, Tom.
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, the question I had was, you were talking earlier about the repatriation of overseas funds, and it seems to me that the objections to that are that it won't be put to wages or good use, but I can't, I mean, help me here. Why would we not want these monies brought back?
I haven't heard any reason not to bring them back. I have for years promoted the idea of repatriating money at a special low rate. I'm 100% in favor. I think it's one of the best things in the tax bill. So I don't know of anybody that's complaining about it. Do you?
Yeah, just Democrats on TV. And they're not going to be put to wages, but they will be back in the country. And right now they're overseas. And that all that means is that if I'm in a corporation and I have 90% of my cash reserves in another country, and I decide to expand, I might decide to expand where the cash is, rather than repatriate.
I think you will expand if you have discernible demand for your product. Otherwise, you
won't. Right. Well, obviously.
But that's often left out. But let me say this: that it is disingenuous to go to the voters and say that we are repatriating foreign money, foreign profits, we're bringing them back, and you're going to get an average raise of between $4,000 and $7,000. Aside from being an outright lie, to put a family-friendly twist on it, that is disingenuous. And I have heard that statement made by tax bill individuals.
Oh,
and that's wrong.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. All right,
yeah,
no problem.
It certainly is.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. I'm totally in favor of repatriation and believe that this is a good bill. 15.5% on liquid assets, 8% on illiquid assets. It'll add money to the Treasury. It'll enable companies to bring a lot of money back. But I'm against the lie that has been told to voters that the average individual will get a $4,000 to $7,000 raise as a result of this. That is wrong, and that has been said. Let's get Eric on the line in Indiana. Eric, welcome to Money Talk. Hello, Eric.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. What's up?
Well, I'm an attorney with a firm. I employ 70 people, and I'm bothered that I don't get the advantage of the pass-through just because of my profession. I think that's true for physicians too. I don't understand the policy rationale, and I think the taxes should be applied fairly and evenly. So I don't know why they are discriminating among some people as opposed to others. I just don't get it. Someone could make the identical amount of money that I do, and just because they're not in my profession or a physician or otherwise, they get the ability to get taxed at a lower rate. It makes no sense.
No, you're right. It makes no sense. It's not going to make any sense. And I think a lot of the people who are getting hit with the state and local tax deduction cap, I think they feel the same way, that they were targeted.
Yeah, but it's interesting. I mean, someone who would typically want to vote for the very people who pass this plan, I have an incentive not to do that anymore. It has more political consequences than I think they may understand. I mean, but who knows?
Well,
I appreciate the call. I just wish they'd articulate some rationale why they're sticking it to certain professions.
It really hasn't been done. I haven't heard a rationale that makes any sense for, because what this is doing, it's picking winners and losers almost at random. It makes no sense.
I appreciate you taking the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric. Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with Eric. I mean, when you take a look at the provisions of how people were singled out, whether it's people in high-tax states singled out with the cap, the small cap on the SALT deduction, the state and local tax, or whether it's Eric's point about certain pass-through businesses get a 29.6% rate up to a limited amount, others get no break in the rate. They're up at 37%. I mean, to try to explain away some of the things in this tax bill would be impossible. I think it would be completely impossible.